What the fuck was that?
Well, you were driving and then suddenly you just swerved.
No, what the fuck were you doing?
Dad, I was trying to blow you.
Why?
Why? Because I was trying to give you what you want because I'm not a selfish person.
This is a brand new coffee truck. Brand new. Do you have any idea how much a brand new coffee truck costs?
$600.
You are callow. You are insufferable. And you have really fucked me this time. Thank you very much.
Are you mad because you couldn't get hard?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Girls. We are your hosts. I am Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And we are just two boys watching HBO's Girls. And today we are talking about episode 50. Vance, we're at 50. We did 50 of these.
Yeah, I mean, and technically 52 if you count the bonus episodes up to this point.
That's true.
Yeah.
Man, but it's a season five, episode 8. Is titled Homeward Bound, directed by Jamie Babbitt, written by Murray Miller. The original air date was April 10th, 2016, to an audience of 656,000 people, 0.656 million. And I got to tell you, I talked to Vance before this. I texted him before we started recording. I'm on one about this episode. This one is the most infuriated I've been with the girls episode in quite some time, and I'm heated about it.
I don't know if I'm as heated about it, but I do have some thoughts.
Yeah, I have many, many thoughts, and many of them are not very good.
All right, I can't wait.
Yeah. I feel like the only real we've got a couple separate stories. We've got a Shoshana story, there's an Adam story, and then there's a Hannah story. I guess that we could break it up and do Shoshana first.
Yeah, let's go with our prediction that actually came true.
I know, we were right.
Homeward Bound was about Shoshana coming back.
Yeah, I mean, for the betters out there, they banked on us, and we delivered this time.
We delivered. We live another week.
So Shoshana is in an airport. She's just coming back from Japan, and somebody like bumps into her, and then she goes on this whole tirade about how people in America are so rude, and she doesn't even know why she's back, and she hates being back, and she's so upset that she can't be in Japan anymore. She's freaking out.
I'm just still confused. We went from her crying about going back, then staying in Japan, and then crying about being in Japan. And then she gets back into the U.S. She hasn't even like left the airport. And now she's like, why am I back? I have no idea what Shoshana wants.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know if she liked Japan or if she hated it.
It's driving me insane. Like, I'm like, I get it. If you are homesick and you want to come back, then that's fine. If you didn't want to come back, that's fine too. But like, she is waffling between both stages. And if they want to do that, that's fine too. But you got to like at least layer that in and be like, okay, she's really confused and in this lost state. But she's like aggressive in every one of them.
Yeah. Like she was the last time we saw her, she was like bawling her eyes out and walking around Japan like, why am I here? I hate this. I'm so lonely.
And then she's in the airport and she is all Japanese attired out. Like,
yeah.
She walked from like, I don't even know how to describe her full on outfit.
I'll describe her outfit. She's wearing a like a Japanese anime looking kind of shirt. But the text is in French. She's got a like a hyper pink skirt on. Yo, her roots are showing like crazy in her hair. She needs to do some touching up on her bleach job because it looked rough. When this episode started, as fans of the show know, I'm watching it in standard definition, and it was even worse definition. It was like super pixely because it needed time to like load it. And I couldn't even tell who was talking for a while because I didn't recognize her based on the hair. Like I figured it was Shoshana. But her hair was like half brown, half bleach blonde, and it just looked atrocious.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to the hair, but I agree. If I trust your your opinion there.
Yeah, I mean, it was rough looking, dude. I bleached my hair once, and in order to get it to go back, you know, it takes, number one, mm-hmm. a while. I just shaved my head because I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't have, like, two-tone hair. Yeah. It just looks ridiculous. And mm-hmm. my thoughts were confirmed when I saw Shoshana in this airport scene.
Yeah.
So next time we see her is, like, much later on in the episode. There's a lot of stuff going on in this episode.
Oh, I want to say, I thought, oh, Shoshana's going to come back. She's going to interact with the girls at some point. Nope. No. Not at all. No one's waiting for her.
Nope. She didn't tell anybody. Nobody knows that she's back, it seems like.
She didn't text Ray. She didn't call anybody. Like, Jessa's her cousin? You would think she might get in touch. I don't know.
So next time we see her, she's in what looks like a Japanese restaurant. She's looking very solemn and just kind of staring down at her food. And she's the only person in this restaurant. And who walks in the door but Scott the soup guy with a client, it looks like, or something. And he's like, what the fuck? What are you doing here?
It seemed like it was the business partner or something, because he at least knew Shoshana, the guy who walked in with her. Yeah.
Yeah. So the business partner leaves and Scott comes up and he's like, so what are you doing here? I thought you're in Japan. When did you get back? What happened? And she's just like, I don't know. I don't know what's up with my life. I'm freaking out. I'm not in Japan anymore. I'm looking how to get on welfare. And Scott's like, what's happening with you? I don't understand. And she's freaking out because she's stressed out because she doesn't have a job anymore. And she just got back from Japan. And Scott basically reprimands her and's like, you know, what's ridiculous is you always used to make fun of all of your friends and call them losers for not having their lives figured out. And here you are trying to scam the system to get welfare. And you're taking it from needy, from people that actually need it, or you're taking assistance when you don't really need it, and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, wow, this is really fucked up that you're doing this to me in my time of need and when I'm at my most vulnerable. And he basically just calls her a loser and then he dips out. And it was awesome.
Yeah, it was one of those interesting things. I wonder if that needed to happen in front of the girls, you know? If they needed, if like Hannah needed to be the one being like, hey, real life's not so so easy or whatever.
Yeah.
But her real life path has been so different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Shoshana talking about welfare is like really interesting, especially in a time we're in where like, you know, like, where like unemployment benefits and stuff are a thing. Like, talking about welfare is different than like unemployment stuff, you know, like if she's working, your money goes into unemployment. She should get the unemployment money because it's already gone into a pot for you to take from. But she just got back. Like, she should not, that should not be her number one go-to. Also, she's like, it's not a lot of options out there for an NYU grad who specializes in brand management. And I was like, that's all the jobs there are. Every job is in brand management. Like, I know they said that like as an inside joke, but it's like, yeah, that's, of course she can find work. Like,
yeah,
she went on like a million interviews before she even went to Japan. Like,
yeah, she went on like loads of practice interviews even where she like got the job and she was like, oh no, I'm not even interested in this. Yeah. I just wanted to practice.
Now she actually has real work international experience working overseas.
Yeah. Like, and she also, I feel like her chief concern should be like, where is she going to live? Who is she going to be living with?
I don't feel like she comes from a family that has zero money too.
That's
like
true.
Her parents have some means. I don't know if her parents, I feel like they still live in the city, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. But she could easily just get Abigail to write her a crazy recommendation.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, it's fine. Like, there's a way for her to work this out. It's not the end of the world for Shoshana now that she's just back.
Yeah, and if she wasn't so rude to Scott, he would probably have given her a job.
Yeah, and it's not like she's moving back from Iowa where it's, like, not a ton of people. She's moving from a crowded, busy metropolitan city to another city, and one that you speak the language fluently in now. So it's okay.
Yeah. Scott calls her the worst of all of her friends, and he storms out, says good luck. And she's like, don't say good luck. That's the worst thing that you could ever say to somebody. I know what you mean when you say that. And he dips, and then she apologizes to the Japanese restaurant worker for bringing shame upon his establishment.
In pretty fluent Japanese, which is nice. Or Japanese that's fluent enough from what I could tell.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, I mean, we have no idea.
With no idea. It's just gibberish. But you know what's crazy? When he walked in, did you think he was walking in to meet her? It was one of the most random staged, like, empty restaurant. He walks in and it's like, Shoshana, you're here? It's like, wait, was this not planned?
I kind of got that same feeling. But then he mentions like, oh, this was my secret spot that I told you about. You knew that I would be here. And it's like, I wonder if it would have been funny if it was like Shoshana showed up there every day waiting to just have a confrontation with him. Like, this is like 3 days later after she got back or something.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Is she like going here just to wait for him because she wasn't even sure she was going to call him? Like, because it doesn't seem like she has anything to say to him when he shows up either.
Yeah.
It seems like she just went there because it was a Japanese restaurant and she wanted to speak Japanese and have sushi. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it was just because it was like something that was familiar to her and she wanted to feel like she was still in Japan, maybe. Yeah. But I don't know. But that,
are we done with Soup Guy? Is Soup Guy like done with the show?
I don't know. But we are done with Shoshana for this episode.
Okay.
Because there's nothing else going on there. But how do you think Soup Guy's coming back, Scott?
I was done with Scott after the airport scene, so
yeah, same. I was like, oh, why is he here? Who cares?
He doesn't add anything to this.
Yeah, he's just a bland, nice guy.
He's a piece of toast.
Yeah. So now we can hop on over to Adam, I guess.
Sure, let's do it.
All right, so Adam knocks on Laird and Caroline's door. And he's like, hey, Laird answers the door with his baby Sample.
Yeah, that's the nickname.
That's a nickname because he's sample sized or she's sample sized.
Yeah, I forget what the baby's name is. It's Hannah, Jessa, something or other. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like four names.
Yeah.
Sackler. Four names Sackler. He's holding the four names Sackler. And Adam's like, hey, I'm looking for Caroline. I've been trying to reach her and I can't find her. And Laird's like, oh, no, it's all good. We're all good here. And I'm like, really? Well, then where's Caroline? And Laird's like, she went to go out to get some, I forget what they're called.
Papitas
from the store about 3 days ago. And she hasn't come back yet. And Adam's like, what?
Papitas are the hipster cigarettes. in this world. I'm going out for a pack of papitas. Yeah. Never saw him again.
Oh my god. Yeah. So Adam's like, well, aren't you worried? And Laird's like, no, I'm not worried. Maybe she just kind of got lost looking for him. And Adam's like, you should be worried. She's been gone for 3 days. This is, you know, how they say the first 48 is the most crucial. And Laird's just let that time pass. Yep. So then Adam is like, well, we got to fucking find her. And then Laird's kind of like, I mean, okay, let's look at. And then they look through her computer and be like, well, let's see her recent search history. And it's all a bunch of like Wesley Snipes' Wikipedia page and how to pronounce Rihanna. Yeah. And Adam's like, well, do you have a place where you like leave each other notes or something? Like any place where you guys communicate? And Laird's like, oh, you mean like the fridge? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Adam's frustration with Laird. Like, even during the birthing episode, when she's giving her, like, his frustration with Laird is amazing. Like,
it's so good.
He can't stand Laird.
So Adam's looking for some type of clue as to where Caroline might be, and he moves the fridge to find a note underneath the fridge. And he gives Laird the note, and the note basically is saying that Caroline wrote Laird a note. That's like, hey, I'm sorry to have to do this to you, but ever since Sample was born, I've had urges to want to hurt the baby and hurt myself. And so I think it's best if I just leave. And then Laird just kind of left there to sit with that for a little bit. And he's like, hey, you mind if I go out? Can you watch the baby really quick? I just need to go out. And Adam's like, yeah, sure. So then he leaves. And I mean, that was a real fucking heavy, dark scene there.
Yeah, I mean, she's dealing with postpartum depression, you know? Like, that's really what Caroline's going through. And that's a real thing that... And this time period is really well known. Like, back in the day, like, when that happened to women, it was really just, like, a confusing thing. And it wasn't diagnosed like how depression is diagnosed now, but... Yeah, postpartum, it's real, and she has it, and she, like, it's interesting because it wasn't just Caroline just leaving because she's just floaty and flaky. Like, yeah. She's actually going through a real thing, which they do need to, like, find her and, like, get her help and, like,
you can come back from this. Yeah,
you can come back from this, you know? She can come back from this. But yeah. she already, the postpartum is different than her other mental ailments, which she already had, which we knew about beforehand, because she wasn't quite stable before having a kid. But yeah, no, this is like a real thing. And it's interesting. I mean, they go hard with it where Laird just like drops everything and just says and just walks away. Like, you don't know where he's going, if he's going after, if he's just going a walk, if he's coming back. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, he might be going out for a pack of cigarettes. For a pack of pepitas.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was heavy, dude. I was like, oh, shit. This is wild. And then, you know, he leaves the baby with Adam. And I'm just kind of like, fuck. Like, where's my sister? You know, et cetera. Like, that's a lot to deal with in a small amount of time, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that the last line of the letter was something like, I hope that you are as loving to Sample as I was abusive to you, or something like that. And I was like, god damn.
it seems like she was just walking off. It was, they had a weird relationship that we didn't see a lot of, but it definitely had the where she was probably yelling at Laird all the time and he's just letting it slide. And then there's those little moments, and like most abusive relationships where it's like those, the beat down and then the like loving moment that keeps you just tethered just enough.
Yeah.
You know,
the one moment that keeps you like, okay, this is who I am with. Yeah. But it's like, oh, let me forget about the 90% of the horribleness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I mean, if anything, that's kind of a thread throughout this episode of relationships and the abuses within them. But
I feel bad for Laird, man. That's rough.
Mm-hmm.
But, so then Laird leaves. Adam's left to take care of the baby. And he seems to be having a pretty good time with the baby for a little while. You know, he's singing to it and, you know, bouncing it and having a good time. And then Jessa shows up, I guess because Adam called her to come help him. And she brings milk and she's like, hey, I couldn't find formula, so I just brought milk. And Adam's like, we don't need milk. I need formula. And then Jess is like, I mean, the baby won't know the difference. Just give it to it. And I'm like, the baby will fucking know the difference because it cannot digest milk.
She just has a half gallon of whole milk that she drinks. And you're just like, damn, Jessa. And it would be funny if it was, I thought it would have that moment where she's like, I was joking. Here's the formula in the bag. You know, like that moment, but like it's not. And then she just plops herself down.
She does go, I was joking, I'll go back out and find the formula.
Yeah.
she was obviously not joking.
No, I was like, why did you even come in? Like, that was the whole point of you coming over, was with the formula. Like,
well, I think that she just thought that babies could drink regular milk.
No, I know. Like, And Adam realizes that she's not joking either.
Yeah. And she's like, can I just have a second? I need to sit down. It's mad hot out. And she's like fanning herself. And Adam's like, hey, can you hold the baby real quick? I have had to pee for an hour and I don't want to expose my dick to the baby because it'll probably think it's a monster.
It's like you could lie the baby down for a minute, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine. But
how long does it have to take you to pee, buddy? Yeah. Like it's going to be a couple seconds, you know?
And the baby will have no idea what's going on. But I like Adam's like, Adam's being as responsible as he can be mm-hmm. in a situation.
Yeah, but that doesn't extend to giving Jessa a baby. <'Cause> you should never give Jessa a baby, which she's like, hey, I've never held a baby before, and she's holding it like, like it disgusts her. Like, she's like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Well, the first time we see Adam come over and he has to hold the baby, he seems uncomfortable about it too. Remember?
Yeah.
Laird gives it to him. He's like, I don't know what to do. And then Laird's like, hey, when you think about having one of these yourself? You know, mm-hmm. like that was the last time we saw Laird and Adam.
Yeah. So Adam goes to pee. And then I think what happens next is Hannah gives Jessa a call because Hannah's left in her own little predicament. Mm-hmm. And which we'll get to in a bit. And Hannah calls Jessa and she's like, hey, why are you whispering? Because Jessa's like, hello, who is this? Mm-hmm. And Hannah's like, why are you whispering? And she's like, because I'm with Caroline's baby. She's like, are you with Adam? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, are you with Adam because you two are fucking? And then Jessa's like, yeah. And then Hannah hangs up on her. And then Jessa's like, well, that was Hannah. Isn't Hannah just the worst? I can't believe, like, she makes everything about her. She's being so selfish. And then Adam cuts her off and he's like, my sister is missing right now. I don't give a fuck about this drama involving Hannah. Like, my sister is suicidal and missing. I have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, and then Jessa gets off the phone and she's saying, like, she knows, she fully knows, we're not bad people. Jessa's trying to rationalize, like, we didn't do anything wrong. We're not bad people. Like, people meet and hook up. Like, she's just kind of, like, trying to make herself not a bad person throughout this whole ordeal, right? And then that's when Adam says the thing about, hey, I got real issues I'm dealing with. I really don't give a shit.
And then like, I don't give a fuck about Hannah being mad at us.
Yeah. And then the scene ends with Jessa being like, I know she's the worst. She makes everything about herself. Like, about, and that's how that one ends. And it's like, Jessa, you're making it about yourself. Like,
time and place, Jessa.
Yeah. Like, and they, like, what are they? I can't believe they're still, like, worried about that.
I can't either. I mean, who cares?
Like, Adam, like, you don't hang out with her anymore. Adam doesn't hang out with her. I mean, she does live upstairs.
Yeah.
Like, she lives in the building that you guys are in right now. But whatever.
Do you think that Jessa and Adam are doing something wrong, though?
Oh, I mean, if you end up sleeping with your best friend's ex-boyfriend and decide to, like, keep it a secret because you know something. Like, that's when you know you're doing something wrong, when you don't want someone else to find out. If the fear of someone else finding out is, like, keeping you from telling someone something, then, yeah, you yourself are saying that you've done something wrong. In the grand scheme of things, it's not the worst thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a very nuanced thing where it's, like, they technically aren't doing anything wrong, but there is a feeling of, like, I think we might be doing so, because I know if this information got to Hannah, it would hurt her, but it shouldn't because she didn't want to be with Adam anymore. But it's just like one of those weird gray areas where it's tough.
There are dudes that like have been broken up with girls for a while. And like, if they hooked up with someone else, not even like a friend, they would still be feeling some way about it. Like, so it's not like just that, but like, it's Adam, like they've known him. They've known that he's like Hannah's one, like that's the one that's like off limits to you. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
like Ray can get passed around.
Yeah.
Ray can get passed around. But Adam is the trophy of, like, don't mess with it. And then it's just the way she has to find out and the way it's like,
Yeah, man. So then the next scene, Jessa's holding the baby and, you know, she's rocking it. And then the baby pukes on Jessa. And she freaks out and she's like, oh my God, Adam, it puked on me. Oh my God, take the baby. It stinks. This puke is running down my back. Can you help me? I need to change my shirt. Can you help me? It's running down my back. It's going into my butt. And then she's in the bathroom and she comes out of the bathroom. She's like, Adam, why aren't you helping me? And then Adam says, I think this is my favorite line of the episode here.
Same.
He says, you're an adult. She's a baby. Why do you need more help than a baby?
And it's not just the words itself, the delivery of it too. The way he's just like, it's like he's seeing her for the first time and being like,
yes,
who are you?
It felt very much like that was a, it felt like Jessa was Hannah in that moment.
Mm. Yeah, because I was, when that happened, I was like, okay, so this could be one of those things that makes it where you start to see the cracks in Adam and Jessa's relationship.
Mm.
And then I was like, okay, so if we've seen the cracks in Adam and Jessa's relationship, if this is what cracks it, I don't see him being able to go back to Hannah because she's just as bad. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I'm like, who is he going to end up with then? Because he can't end up with anybody but Marnie at that point.
Dude, I didn't see that one coming. I did not see that one coming. I didn't see that one coming. That was a good one, dude.
She's the only one that can take care of herself. But no, like, I mean, when he says that to Jessa, it's just, it has so much behind it. That line delivery, that performance, that read, and like coming in, like, because I think Adam thinks of himself as becoming an adult throughout this, and like, oh, if I was to have a kid, like, is this the person I could have a kid with? That's bringing whole milk and freaking out about being vomited on by a baby
mm-hmm.
and can't help herself. Which I would say, hey, you should know her at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she hasn't been in this type of situation, which is obviously a situation that Adam wants to be in. It seems like he wants to have kids, and he's like a romantic kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And this is his first time seeing Jessa thrown into this world, and she's not holding up. And Adam's like, oh, okay, I don't think I can be with this person because she's a dumbass.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of wraps up Adam and Jess's story for this episode.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see where that goes, man.
They have to follow up on what happened with Caroline. They have to. If they don't.
Oh, yeah. No, they will.
They absolutely have to.
We only have two more episodes, right?
Yeah, in this season, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Like, and we have to, I mean, at least with Laird, where did Laird go, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot dangling with an hour of TV left. Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows? And now we get to the main event of the episode. Hannah, Fran, and then miscellaneous other characters that show up.
Yeah. And Marnie and Desi will get looped in.
Yeah, Marnie, they'll be folded into this story as well.
We'll fold them in. Yeah.
You know what? Can you take the lead on this one?
Can I take the lead?
Dude,
I'll start the opening scene at least.
I'm going to get furious, and while you're talking, I'm going to like start going.
Okay.
So you need to get it in right now, because I'm going to fucking freak out later on.
I'm interested to see what parts freak you out, because there's a lot. Okay, so after we come from the opening scene with Shoshana, we end up with Fran and Hannah in an RV taking off on a road trip because they're teachers, so they have the summer off. And they're just going on a road trip. They're packed up. Fran is driving, and he looks really happy. And he tells Hannah he's so happy that it's just going to be just us. No Elijah. No annoying friends of hers, no needy friends of hers, just the two of us for 3 months on the road. Like,
dude, as soon as he said that, I was like, Hannah is gonna fucking have a seizure right now.
when that was happening, I was like, what made him think that this was a good idea based off of what we've seen the last few episodes? What in the world made him think, oh, I should go on a 3-month road trip with Hannah?
Yeah. No, that should never be an idea with Hannah for anyone.
No. Oh, she doesn't like being outside and roughing it or camping. Great. She causes trouble wherever she goes. Great. Like, why do you think this is a great idea? Like, it didn't even make any logical sense.
It,
Like if he's going on this, he should be reluctant. Like, are we sure we want to do the trip? She's like, yes, I've always wanted to go cross country driving. He's like, yeah. All right, I've rented a van. You sure you want to do this? I'm sure. And then they get in, and then
that would have been the greatest.
I can't see
that would have been so much better. It would have been. He's like he's so happy go lucky during this. He's like, it's just gonna be us. It's gonna be great.
Like what is he? What world is he living in?
I used to really like Fran, but now he's just a fucking idiot, dude.
He just became so dumb. Like, he's like so lack of awareness of the person he's in a relationship with.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as he just kept hammering home, it's going to be just us, just the two of us. I was like, Fran, is this really what you want?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, who picked this?
Yeah.
Like, if anything, you take a week or two by yourself, Fran, and you and your brother go like traveling and camping.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have stopped you. She would have been like, oh no, I want to go with you. She would have been like, go.
Well, also, like, where is this 3-month road trip going? Where are they going?
I don't know.
I have a bathroom on the, and Hannah's like, oh, this is cool. It's got a toilet on the van. It's pretty cool.
Even though they stop to go to a bathroom.
Yes.
Okay. Sure.
So that is the next scene, is they stop and go to the bathroom on like one of those rest stops on the side of the highway.
Yeah.
And Hannah gets out. She's wearing like these pajamas and cowboy boots. What? What's happening, Vance? Vance, what's happening?
Well, it gets even more absurd. Well, I love, she gets out and then she texts him from the bathroom.
When she gets out and goes into the bathroom, pulls out her phone, starts texting, I thought it was going to be like the classic, oh, I meant to send that to Marnie situation.
100%. I thought that was going to be what it was too.
But instead, she directly texts Fran, I don't want to go anymore. Leave without me. In all caps. And Fran gets the message and he's like, what? And he calls her and she's like, Fran? I don't want to go. Just leave me. Leave me here at the rest stop.
Of course, Fran is one of those people that gets a text and then wants to call you right away. No, I'm texting you because I want a text conversation. I'm not texting the phone call.
This is what I thought was going to happen. So Fran just kept saying, you know, it's just going to be the two of us. I thought that when Hannah got out and she went into the bathroom, I thought that Fran was going to leave her there, without the text. I thought it was just like Fran was going to drive away and just ditch her.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought that would have been.
Did you think that was going to happen when you thought it was still an accidental text? Or even when he read that
maybe.
Text?
Yeah, maybe.
When he read that text. Yeah.
When I thought it was an accidental text.
Yeah.
I thought like when he picked up his phone, I was like, oh, he's just going to drive off without her.
Yeah.
But it was a text to Fran saying, I don't want to go anymore. And he calls her and he's like, what the fuck is this all about? Hannah, talk to me. And she's like, no, I don't want to talk to you. She's having a fucking tantrum.
So like, I kind of love that because that fits her character. She doesn't want to come. She is not a confrontation person. So of course she wants to break up with him with text. Of course she does it in the most absurd way possible from a rest stop bathroom. What happens next is so sitcom-y, comic, hilarious. It's hilarious in its absurdity. Like, he starts trying to get into the bathroom. She won't let him in. And then she leaves the bathroom door. He runs through, chases her through. They're going through. It's almost like those beach outdoor bathrooms where, like, the women and men stalls you can, like, run through and...
Yeah.
Like they're chasing around and it's just her in those boots and she's running she's running like she's never run before in her life. Like her legs don't work. And he's chasing after her and being like, I'm not a monster. Why are you running from me? Like,
yeah. And she's like, well, you might be a monster. That's according to you.
And I'm like, at what point of this chasing do you realize as Fran, what the fuck am I doing?
Yes.
Why am I doing this?
Yes. Just from the optics of if other people see you and she's screaming no and running towards the woods.
Like, why? Like, friend, the signs have been there. This is the woman who exposed herself to the principal of the school you teach at.
Yes.
This, like, she deleted all of your nudes off your phone.
Dude, this was so absurd. And then she runs into the woods and she's like, leave me. I don't want to go with you. I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. She runs. She trips over a log. Fran is like, are you fucking? And he stops and he's like, are you serious? Is this how this is ending? This is how we break up? And she's behind a tree and she's like, yes, leave me here. I'll find a way. And he's like, well, at least let me drive you back to the city. Like, let me do that at least. And she's like, no, don't come near me. And he's like, he says something about how, like, you are so insanely rude and selfish. You're so rude that my brother wrote a handwritten letter about how fucking rude you are. And I should have listened to him. And then he just starts screaming fuck like 4 or 5 times and goes back into his RV and drives off.
The thing that gets me is she tried to break up with him at the art show or that play. And he was like, oh, that's what you're going to do. You're going to do this to try to get your way. And I'm like, no, she wants to break up with you. The last thing we saw, she wanted to break up with you. She cried because of Adam and Hannah realization that he didn't recognize and grabbed his hand. And it was like, okay, but they're not okay because it wasn't okay. It was done.
Yeah.
The thing has been dying. This relationship has been dying. And even at this point, he's still like, oh, this is how it's going to break up out here. I'm like, what? Like, I can't believe. I'm like, what is this? What is Fran holding on to? Like, why can't he let this relationship go?
What is good in this relationship?
Like, he is holding on so hard to not break up with her. And I just don't get it.
He's fighting so hard for a woman running away from him in pajamas and cowboy boots.
She won't get in the van that has all of her stuff in it, supposedly.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
All of her stuff. Like, all of her things. 3 months
worth of stuff, at least.
She's packed up to go. Like, that is not just like her I'm sure everything is in there. It's not like you just took a backpack full of clothes and you're like, all right, we're going for the weekend. This is like a 3-month road trip.
Yeah, dude, I didn't even think about that.
I'm like, you need to drive back and unpack all this stuff. Like,
I mean, holy shit.
And there are so many moments where you get to say, no, I don't want to do this before you get on the road.
She also, as soon as Fran, like, walks away to, like, drive off without her, she has a look on her face that's kind of like, oh, I wish that he wouldn't go. Like, I, what am I going to do now? Like, what? I wish that he wasn't leaving. And it's like, go fuck yourself, dude. It's that, you remember that Key and Peele sketch where it's like a guy chasing his girlfriend out of the bar, like they're having a fight. And she's like, leave me alone, Derek, leave me alone.
Oh, Megan?
Megan. Yeah. Megan. Yeah. And then as soon as the guy is like, all right, fine, I'm leaving, she turns to look back like, you better not fucking leave. And then as soon as he starts chasing her again, she's like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
It had a little bit of that vibes going on to it.
100%.
And I was like, dude, this is so fucking annoying. And that's not even that's just the beginning of the annoyances, dude.
That's the opening of this scene, the whole A story of Han. Like, that's it. Like, Fran is bounced out. He said, fuck you, drives away.
It's wild. Like, this is the least annoying that Hannah is in this episode.
No, I mean, I find her annoying in this part, but it's the least egregious act of what's happening. I don't know. Let's just go to it, I guess.
Yeah. So then she's like, after Fran leaves, she calls Marnie. And when she's on the phone with Marnie, because she wants Marnie to come pick her up, Marnie answers and she's like, hey, what's up? I'm recording right now. What's up? And then Hannah's basically like, yeah, so Fran just left me on the side of the road and I need you to come pick me up. It's like, Fran did not just leave you on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. You fucking asshole. You ran away from Fran, begged him to leave you there. He even offered you a ride back to the city after you're being such a shitty piece of garbage.
And not only that, the way she hangs up on Marnie is like, oh, great, finished. Because Marnie can't come pick her up. She's got, like, they're in a studio. They have, like, backup musicians.
Yeah, a whole band is there.
Like, they have a whole thing. Like, there's no way she can just duck away and go to upstate New York or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, just 2 hours out of the city or wherever they are. And then Hannah hangs up like, great, enjoy making your wonderful album or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, why are you being a bitch to Marnie because she can't drop everything and pick you up?
Dude.
Like,
infuriating.
Okay, yeah. Like, immediately I'm like, it's not the most annoying thing. And you bring up a point that's her being annoying.
Yeah. Marnie goes, why don't you get an Uber? And then Hannah's like, you know that I can't get an Uber because my star rating was so low that I can't get rides anymore. It's like, of course.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course. You can make a new Uber account, get Lyft or some shit.
She can't do anything on her own.
Dude, it's so infuriating.
And then her next call is Jessa.
Yeah.
What did you possibly think would happen?
Yeah.
If Jessa picked up the phone? Because we see Jessa get the call, look at it, not answer it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was going to happen? Jessa was going to drop everything, rent a car, come pick you up?
Well, that was the other thing. Marnie doesn't even have a car. Hannah was like, get a zip car and come get me.
Yeah. Like, no. Jessa's not doing that. Like, she was going to have to play the hey, I got you from rehab card, which.
Yeah, that's true. Or like, hey, you're fucking my ex-boyfriend card.
Yeah. So we should be trapped in a car for a couple hours together.
Yeah. Let's hash this out over a zip car.
Yeah.
I doubt that Jessa even has a driver's license.
I doubt she knows how to drive.
Yeah.
Like, not even like, that's not even like an insult. Like, there are people in New York that just never learn how to drive. Like, I would not assume.
Yeah, I dated a girl that didn't know how to drive.
Yeah, I just would assume Jessa doesn't even know how to drive.
Yeah.
So what is that call?
I have no idea. But Jessa's voicemail is pretty funny, where it's like, hey, you've reached Jessa. If this is an emergency, dial 911. I'm tired of, and don't leave a message because I'm tired of listening to messages.
Yeah, she's like, I don't check my messages. Yeah.
So then Hannah's just like there left in the woods. And before she calls Jessa, Marnie says, why don't you call Ray? I think he has a truck now. And then Hannah goes, the last thing that I want is to be in a car with Ray getting a lecture, which, you know, that'll happen. But
yeah, of course that'll happen. Yeah.
Maybe you need that lecture, you know?
It's true. Ray is going to give you a lecture. So, yeah.
So after she calls Jessa, and that was unsuccessful, the next time we see anything related to Hannah, it's Ray has a coffee truck now and he's driving to go pick up Hannah. So I guess that Hannah gave in. She decided she needed to call Ray to come get her. And this is where shit just really goes downhill.
Why did Ray come to get her? Like, I know he's like, oh, I can't. I know that you hate being outside and I couldn't just leave you stuck on the road. Like, his virtue is like just too much right there.
Well, I think like a season ago or something, he said that he thinks of her as a sister and he would be upset if anything happened to her, blah, blah, blah.
That was the speech he gave to Fran at the wedding.
Yeah.
Which was the beginning of the season, I believe. That was the first
episode.
Yeah. So he views her as a little sister. Okay. I mean, it's a lot, though. I mean, it's a lot to ask someone.
That is a lot. Yeah. I mean, an hour and a half. I mean, especially in New York. Yeah. Driving in New York is rough, dude.
Yeah. I mean, once he gets out of the city, it's fine. But like.
Yeah, but then there's tolls.
Yeah.
I remember driving. When I would drive from New York back home to Baltimore, it would cost $40 in tolls both ways.
But that's not,
$40 one way.
But he's going like upstate. Like that's going across state lines.
I guess so. But you still have to pay like $15 just to get out of the city.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Ray comes to pick her up. He picks her up and Hannah like is literally laying on the side of the road, like laying on the side of, I can't describe it any better than that. She's just,
well, it's no different than when Adam and Shoshana went for a hike in that one episode.
Yeah.
And she just plopped down on the ground and started looking at her phone. Like she's not a road trip camper outdoor person. And that's, here's the thing. We forgot to mention Ray's driving in his new coffee truck.
Yeah.
Like he now has a mobile, like a mud coffee. If you're from New York, like those coffee trucks. So he can like take his coffee on the road, park it somewhere. If there's a street fair festival or something, he can like park it there.
He can go to Smorgasburg.
Yeah, stuff like that. So he's driving up in this, like putting real miles and.
And he mentions that he makes sure to mention that.
Yeah, those trucks are like city trucks. Those aren't like.
Yeah, you don't want that on the highway. I feel like it would. That probably gets like 3 miles to the gallon.
Yeah. I mean, that thing is meant to just go and park somewhere and be parked for most of the time.
So, so he pulls up. Hannah gets up off of the side of the road, comes in the truck like a little child. She's like, thanks for coming and get me, Ray. And he's like, yeah, I couldn't leave you here, you know, to rot like a piece of fruit. And then she's sitting there and she's like, Ray, do you think I made the right decision breaking up with Fran? And Ray is like, I mean, if you had the compulsion to run into the woods, abandon yourself an hour and a half outside of the city just to get away from him, I think you made the right decision.
Yeah. And then he follows that up with, you just got to trust your instincts and go with your gut.
Yeah.
And this leads to one of the worst things.
Yeah. This is one of the worst things I've seen happen in this show. Hannah is like, okay, good advice, Ray. Crawls over to him on her hands and knees, starts unbuckling his belt and stuff. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's like, I'm giving you what you want. And he's like, I don't want this. And she starts to give him roadhead. And he's like, I don't think this is the best idea. This isn't good. This isn't the best idea for our friendship. And she's like, just shut up and let me suck your dick, Ray. And then so he's getting blown. And she's like, just relax and let me like repay you for coming to get me.
Yeah.
And she's like, just tell me what you like and what you want and I'll do it. And then Ray's like, is this okay? And he puts his hand on the back of her head. And she's like, no, it's not okay. It's very triggering to me, actually. And so Ray's like, okay, well, then let's like mix up your technique a little bit. And then he closes his eyes and then runs off the side of the road, hits a sign, and then his truck completely flips over.
Yeah. This is a tricky one here. I don't even know where to begin with this. This is just what are we supposed to take from this right here?
I have no fucking idea, dude. I have no idea, and it's awful.
Like
Hannah doesn't take no for an answer. Ray's like, "Don't do this. Don't do this." She's like, "Shut up."
And I just want Ray, like, it's hard to turn down a blowjob, right? but Ray has to at this point.
Yeah, like, especially if you can't get a blowjob without closing your eyes.
Yeah, and not only that, like, it's Hannah. Like, he has zero, like, attraction level. Like, he's friends with, like, he slept with two of her friends already. He stole his story for Marnie. He is really good friends with Adam. Like,
yeah,
all of this is just like, at one point he just, like, I could see it starting and he's just like, no. Like,
yeah.
And then he just like gives into it. Like, this is happening. I'm going to
push her head away.
Yeah.
Push her away.
Like, no. Like, there have been guys who have been hit on by girls that like them and they don't like them. And like, do you say no? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would have just been better if Ray was like, no, and she kept trying to do it, and then he swerved. Mm-hmm. Because she's trying to do that. I'm not selfish. I give people, like, that's the thing. She's trying to prove that she's not selfish in the most backwards, awkward way possible. Like, this is not what you need to do to prove you're not selfish.
Yeah. Like, especially to Ray.
Like, you know, like, to give him some gas money when you get back. Like, like, I don't know, but don't. And she just broke up with Fran. Like, this is what we have to think. She literally just broke up with Fran.
Yeah, like an at most, at
two,
least
2 to 3
an hour
hours.
And a half ago.
Yeah.
Plus, dude, Roadhead isn't even that good. It's not. You can't. It's not good.
But he also, but even though, like, why, like, Ray doesn't want this from her right now. Like, he says, like you just mentioned, he views her as a little sister.
Exactly.
That is not little sister behavior.
No, you don't want your little sister to blow you unless you're in a weird twisted porn.
And the way that he starts to, like, close his eyes and go back, especially what we find out later, like, that he never even fully got hard. And he's talking about, like, oh, change up your technique. And can I do this? I'm like, it hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
Dude, it was and one of the worst scenes in this entire show.
What, did he lose himself so much in that he had to close his eyes and swerve? Like,
pull over on the side of the road, bro. If you can't handle getting some roadhead, pull over.
Like, wow. I don't know. I just don't even understand. Like, I get it if you wanted them to be trapped, but what a weird way for this to end up.
Yeah.
And this episode does a thing that the last episode did, right? The last episode was the one with the where they find out about Jessa and...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in that one, we had the exposing herself to the principal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then we're supposed to feel bad about the Jessa and Hannah and Adam thing, right?
Yeah.
This one, she tries to blow Ray.
Yeah.
And then later, she's all upset to find out, like, oh, Jessa really is hooking up with... And then what happens even later after this, I'm like, am I supposed to feel bad for Hannah?
I have no idea how you could. Because, so, Ray's truck, like, they're in a ditch, and it just topples over onto its side.
Yeah.
And then Ray and Hannah get out, and Hannah's like, what the... The first thing that Hannah says is, like, what the fuck, Ray? And then she's like, are you okay? Are we okay? And luckily, everybody's okay. Mm-hmm. Then they get out, and Hannah's like, wow, this is kind of fucking crazy. And Ray is freaking the fuck out, because he's like, what the fuck were you doing? What was that? Yeah. And then Hannah's just nonchalantly just kind of like, what? I was giving you some roadhead for coming to pick me up. You're the one that swerved into the side of the road and crashed your car.
If this doesn't stop Ray from being friends with her, I don't know what will.
Well, especially because he's like, do you know how much I just got this truck? Do you know how much a truck like this costs? And Hannah goes, I don't know, like $600. What fucking world do you live in where, dude, you can't get a shitty like 1984 Toyota Corolla for $600.
No.
Let alone a working coffee truck.
Yeah.
And he's like, it cost $50,000. That's how much this costs. And Hannah's like, well, then maybe you shouldn't have fucking crashed it on the side of the road. I was like, I wrote down, let me find what I actually wrote. I wrote, I would punch Hannah if I were Ray.
I mean, it is absurd. He came out of his way, picked her up, and then she causes the crash. Granted, he should, like, push her away. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, if he tried to push her away and she kept going at it, and it was, like, a swerving thing, and then it happened. And she was like, you could have that happen without it going to full blowjob level and still get the same payoff at the end.
Yeah.
Instead, we get a scene where he's like, she complains, like, are you really upset that you couldn't get hard? And he's like,
yeah. So you're not upset about this truck. You're upset that you couldn't get hard. And yeah. He's like, I can get hard. It's just that this shouldn't have been happening. Yeah. She's like, yeah, whatever. You can't get hard. And it becomes like a dick shaming thing.
Yeah. And he's like, you want to call Marnie? You want to call Shoshana? Like, you want to call this other random girl? And I was like, and she's like, no, fine. And I was like, wait, what? Like, this has never been it. Like, why?
I wish this was happening? I wish this was a video podcast so that the people could just see how hard we're like shaking our heads. Like, what the hell is happening? This was so awful. The lack of any accountability on Hannah's part. Like, I will say they're both at fault in this.
Oh, absolutely.
Ray, why are you closing your eyes? What the fuck is wrong with, like, even if you don't get hardened, like, you need to concentrate, let her suck your dick for the whole hour and a half ride home. Keep your eyes on the fucking road, dude.
Dude, don't those vans have, like, those trucks have, like, the open door side thing where you can kind of see through?
Like, dude, that's how Hannah got in. It doesn't have a door on the side.
Yeah.
What if they crashed the other way? Like, dude, it was so fucking terrible.
Why didn't they go one step further? When they crashed, she just bit his dick off. Like, just go the whole way. You know what I mean? Just go the whole way.
Yeah, dude, they crashed. They're on the side of the road. Ray's dick is probably still out. Yeah. You know? That would have been hilarious if you bit his dick off. I didn't even think about that.
That was the fear factor in my eyes when he hit the thing.
Dude, it was so, and then her blaming him, and then him just being like, it cost $50,000, and her being like, whatever.
Yeah.
Not a sorry in sight. Mm-mm. No apology for this blowjob that he didn't even want, that he told her he didn't want. And then she's like, shut up, I'm sucking your dick.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to, like, identify, like, this is the main character of the show is Hannah, and be like, we're championing her. How can you possibly champion this person?
I just don't get, like, what, like, it doesn't have a payoff of, like, the only person that got hurt from this is Ray.
Absolutely.
Fran got hurt by being abandoned. Like, yes. Now he's got, like, a 3-month plan that's ruined, even though that's a lot on Fran and whatever they did to his character, because he should not be wanting to go on this trip. But anyway, she leaves, so she's just going to go back to New York and fine.
Yeah.
Race out on the side of the road with a 50 grand truck that's flipped over that's going to need to be, if it even works anymore,
yeah,
another probably 10 grand to get it fixed. And now he can't sell coffee out of it, so he has no income.
Yeah. Dude, he's fucked.
Yeah.
And so he calls, and I was impressed by this. He's speaking Russian to a guy named Dmitry, who's going to take like 4 to 5 hours for him to get there and fix Ray's car up so that they can get back to the city, it seems like.
I mean, they're going to have to get a winch to, like, get that thing out of the ditch. I mean, it's a truck on its side. Like, it's not like a dude with a pickup that's going to.
I know, dude. It's not like you fucking, it's not easy. You know, you can't just tow him back. Like, there's a lot of shit that needs to happen for this truck to be even right side up.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, it's going to take him like 4 or 5 hours to get here. And Hannah's like, 4 to 5 hours? What are we going to do for 4 to 5 hours? We can't just stay here. And Ray is like, fuck.
Now's the time where she offers the blowjob.
Exactly, dude. Now he really needs that blowjob. He can concentrate on getting hard. You can really focus on your technique. There's no, like,
I think there was a tree in the background they can go behind or something.
Yeah. Go behind the truck that's flipped over.
Yeah.
God damn, dude. You can fuck like 8 times in that 4 to 5 hours if you want to. Yeah, Jesus.
Just turn this relationship into something creepy. Oh my God. She comes back and her and Ray are in a relationship.
Oh no.
Oh God. Because where was that going to go? Like, where was that going to go if that actually, like, he didn't crash that car?
I have no idea.
Like, they were just going to get back to the city and just have that.
Yeah, they talk about their fucking idle chat about his coffee truck.
Oh, man.
So
I think we should jump to Marnie right now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So then, so with Marnie, after she gets the call from Hannah, they're in the recording studio recording their song. It sounds really, it sounds all right. It's kind of basic.
Do you remember the lyrics? Because I was like halfway through like zoning out during the song to like realize the lyrics are insane.
Yeah, it's something about being in a bar in Oaxaca and I think a guy with a gun shows up or something like that.
It was something weird. And I just caught the tail end of it when I was writing down a note, probably in shock from what we just witnessed.
Well, it sounded like a country song, like an old timey country, like a Johnny Cash song.
There was something. There was a line even when she first called. When she's like, oh, Desi's not speaking to me unless we're, like, singing. And then they had Desi sing one of the lines. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was so... It was, like, something magpies.
It was something about boysenberries in his bush.
Yeah. Yeah. Something really weird. Yeah. Something bush. Yeah.
Yeah. So they stop playing the song all of a sudden because a woman comes into the studio. And Desi's like, hey, let's take five. Everybody, we got to take five. And Marnie's like, I don't want to take five. We're like literally in the middle of playing this song. And Desi goes over to this new woman and he gives her a big old smooch. And you see Marnie looking like, who's this bitch? And Desi's like, everybody, this is Tandice. She is going to be our set decor person. She's going to take care of our set decor or something.
She's going to be our... I wrote this down. She is our sage decor for the tour.
Oh, okay, okay.
So they're like, see, I think she said sage, but maybe they said set, but I think it was like sage.
Oh,
like
stage decor.
Stage decor. Okay. I thought
she
said
I wrote down stage. Yeah.
I thought she was saying sage, like the stuff they burn to like.
I mean, that would have
spirits.
Fit.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be too far off base from what she looks like.
Tandice Moncrief is played by Lisa Bonet.
Okay,
I believe is married to, I mean, she was in Cosby Show and different, A Different World. And I think she's married to Aquaman. What's the guy's name from
Jason Momoa?
I think she's married to Jason Momoa. I think it's Lisa Bonet he's married to. Or is it, I get Lisa Bonet mixed up with Zoe Kravitz or what's her name? Like I get those two mixed up sometimes. But I think Lisa Bonet was also in a Will Smith Gene Hackman movie where they're I forget the name of it, but it's Lisa Bonet. So I'm getting super confused.
Don't worry about it. She's Tandice Moncrief in this show.
Lisa Bonet's big though.
I know her from Cosby Show, but not too much else. But everybody, all the band members are like, we're gonna take a five. Can we get Tandice asked for a solo second with Marnie? And so everybody kind of leaves except for Tandice, Marnie, and Desi, who is like off in the corner eating a sandwich, it looks like. And she comes up to Marnie and she's like, hey, I'm going to be the new stage decor person. And Marnie's like, yeah, but like, who the fuck are you? And how do you know Desi, my soon to be ex-husband, which I cannot wait for? It's like, then why are you making a big deal out of this?
Exactly. Everything that's being said in this scene should not... I mean, I get it should bother you on an emotional level, but realistically, it should not. Like, it really should.
So Tandice is like, well, my name is Tandice Moncrief. And then I like this, where Marnie's like, well, that's a very obviously fake name. And she's like, well, how come I've never heard of you if you're such good friends with Desi? Like, we've been married. You didn't come to the wedding. And Tandice is like, well, I didn't come to a wedding because I was doing an anti-violence workshop for criminals or something. And Marnie's like, oh, yeah, of course you were. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's like, and that's why Desi wanted me to come and be our stage decor person and be present for all of this, because you have rage issues and he wants to separate his music life from his personal life. And he's worried that you're going to like freak out on him. And Marnie's like, oh, I have fucking rage issues. I have fucking rage. You think I'm crazy? Let me show you how crazy I can be.
No, she just gets a little higher. She just literally goes, wait, I have rage issues? And I'm like, has she had rage issues? Like,
I mean, I could see how Desi would think that she has rage issues,
yeah.
You know?
I could see how, yeah, I could definitely see how Desi thinks she has rage issues. I also think it's a real twist from the last time we saw Desi, where he was going to use the music to get back together in the relationship.
Yeah.
And now he's like, everything's just shifting for convenience sake. Because when they were having their fight at home, when she goes on her Charlie adventure, it was mm-hmm. because she wasn't talking to him. And he was like, you can talk to me. Like, and she's like, no, I want my space. I don't want to talk. Now Marnie's complaining that he won't talk to her. And like during this scene, she's like, so wait, he doesn't, because it goes in where Tandis is like, he wants to pretend like you're just not there when you're not on stage. And I was like, yeah, that sounds perfect. That sounds like what you wanted, Marnie. You were saying,
That sounds like the perfect job. Like, I don't want to fucking, like, you know, when you have coworkers and stuff and you're just like, you go to work. And that's why I never like want to go to those like happy hours or anything. It's like, you're my work people. Like, once I'm outside of this office, I have another life.
You want people to be friendly. You want people, you want like your musicians to seem like they like each other, but they can not like each other and work together. You know, like,
yeah, there's been so many bands like that.
You want your podcasters to enjoy each other and not be like me and you, where we just shut down. And don't like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's our working relationship.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, and
peek behind the curtain.
That's a wrap.
Vance has tried to murder me 6 times during the whole recording of this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we record remotely now, not because of the pandemic.
Yeah,
it's court ordered restraining order.
I will say that it would be impossible to make music with this setup, though. Like, unless Tandis is going to be there the whole time. Like,
I feel like bands do this, though. You always see
how would they
up.
Do that?
Musicians break up because, like, they're creatively good together. But, like, I'll bring up Groundhog's Day as the movie. Like, Bill Murray and Harold Ramis were, like, at odds during that movie. But they made one of the, like, classic films, you know? Like, they just, because the working relationship is different than, like, once you call cut or once you're like offset or stuff like that, like they might not get together on a personal level. They can get on stage. He can play the music and she can sing.
And yeah, but you have to write music.
He's also an actor. So he can pretend like he loves her while they're on stage.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, people really thought that Bradley Cooper and
Lady Gaga
were like in a relationship because of, they were singing a song together. And I'm like, he's a multi-time Academy Award nominated actor, you know, and she's an actor that's like gets nominated for Emmys. So like, maybe this is a weird thing. Maybe they're acting. I mean, they can do it, and I thought this is exactly what she wanted, but I think she would want that, but not with another woman involved. That's all it was just a jealousy.
She didn't want Desi to decide those terms. She wanted to be on her terms. She didn't want to be the one. She wants to be the person that's invited to the party and gets to say no. Like, she doesn't want, she wants the control. And this way she doesn't have the control and it pisses her off.
And we get to see woman versus woman again. This battle pitted against each other. I got to say, Desi just has these women coming out the woodwork. When she first showed up, I was like, is this Clementine?
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, and I was like, I was excited for this. I was like, Clementine's back? This is going to be wild.
No, but instead it's Tandis Moncrief.
Yeah.
Marnie gives her a namas fucking day, namas fucking stay, whatever, and then she bails. Mm-hmm. And then that basically kind of wraps up Marnie until a little later.
Yep.
So back to Hannah and Ray. They're on the side of the road waiting for Dimitri to show up, and a car pulls up and is like, hey, are you guys okay? And they're like, yeah, we're okay. Like, it's fine. And then Hannah goes, actually, are you going back into the city? Because I could really use a ride to the city. And the guy's like, yeah, come on in. And Ray's like, what the fuck? What are you? You can't just leave me here. And she's like, yeah, I really got to go home, Ray. And he's like, you can't just get into a stranger's car. This isn't the groovy 70s or what. He says you can't get into a groovy stranger's car. This isn't the 70s. You're going to get fucking murdered or something. Like, you don't know this guy. And she's like, it's cool, deuces. And then just drives off with this stranger. And Ray's like, I got your license plates. If you do anything to her, I'll call the cops. How much more of a piece of shit can Hannah be?
Not only did this guy come to rescue you off the side of the road, and a road that seems like no cars go down it, because if she's just lying on the side of the road and for like I don't know how long, and he drives up and he sees her, but he comes out of his way, picks her up. She tries to give him a blowjob that leads to a car accident, which is already weird. Then she just abandons him by himself at that place to hop and hitchhike because she can't wait any longer. Like, dude, what is happening?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. She leaves him, and it's not like he's even at the rest stop where he picked her up, where there's like a bathroom or like even snacks or anything. Like, they're on the side of a road.
He does have a coffee truck full of probably water, coffee, and muffins and scones.
Yeah, but that shit's all splashed all over the car because it was turned upside down.
You know that stuff's wrapped in a there's water bottles and scones wrapped in that like cellophane. It's fine. It's Ray. He can. You know what? The human body can live without eating.
Yeah.
But he's gonna be standing on the side of the road in the dark, though.
Like, yeah.
They looked like there was no street light there.
Well, it also looked like, it was like turning into dusk.
Yeah.
When she just hops in this guy's car that she doesn't know.
And the guy that picks her up, his name in the episode is Hector, but it's Guillermo Diaz, who played Huck in Scandal, Scarface, and Half Baked.
Because he looks familiar.
Yeah. He's in that Pop Copy Chappelle Show sketch. Yeah, but he's known for Half-Baked and Scandal. Yeah.
So, she gets into Hector's car, and they're driving down the road, and she's kind of dawns on her, it seems like. She's like, I don't really know who this fucking guy is. What am I doing? This is a stranger. She looks into the back, and there's a gun, and she's like, oh my God. What have I done? I don't know this guy. There's a gun in the back. What the fuck is happening? And then she calls Marnie to kind of be like, safety call or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She calls her and she's like, I'm with this guy, Hector. What's your last name? Medina. Hector Medina. I'm hitchhiking. And Marnie's like, I don't really know. You know, Desi's doing this shit. And Hannah's like, no, this is fucking serious. I'm hitchhiking. Listen. And then Marnie's like, okay.
It's a safety call. You're calling because it's a safety call. Okay, got it. Like,
yeah.
I think women have this, like, and it's a
for
thing.
Sure. For happen. Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. But my issue here is it's really hard to feel bad for Hannah because of the circumstances that led to it.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
she
should know not to get into any stranger's fucking hitchhiking car anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why did you hop into this car?
I can't tell you why, Vance.
I don't.
Because she didn't want to feel the guilt of Ray, but it didn't even seem like she felt guilty about it at all anyway.
And Ray's not like chewing her out like for the 5 hours that he's waiting.
Dude.
And yeah, so like she's calling and then
Marnie tells her to like get out and go say that you need to pee and then run away.
Yeah.
And then she's like, hey, can you stop? I need to pee. And then Hector's like, there's nowhere to pee. Like, I can't even pull over or anything. Like, there's nowhere to stop.
Yeah.
And Hannah's like, well, you need to do it because I need to pee right now. And if you don't, I'm going to pee.
Yeah.
And then so he just gives her a gigantic jug
Yeah.
And he's like, here, you, I guess you can pee in this. And then you can faintly hear Marnie on the phone being like, oh my God, Hannah, tell me you're not peeing in this jug. And Hannah is peeing in the jug. She's keeps being like, I am peeing in this jug, Hector, because we will not harm each other and I trust you. And yeah. And we are two peas in a pod and you shouldn't hurt me. Yeah. And he's like, well, okay, whatever.
Yeah. I do love when she was on the phone. He's like, hey, I picked you up because I wanted some company for the ride and you're being rude on your phone. Like, which I really love. Like, because at that point, we're still not sure if Hector's, what's his motive, you know?
And yeah, once like you saw the gun, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, when she has to hang up, but she, but Marnie's like, don't hang up the phone, just leave me on and put me in your pocket or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that women can pee in a jug like that. It's not as easy for them as it is for us.
I believe Hannah could. I believe Hannah could figure it out.
I don't know, man.
I think it'd be, I think it's not, no, I think it'd be a mess.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's definitely going to be pee on the seat, or there's going to be pee all over that car.
I don't think it's going to go well. Not at that angle.
Yeah. Yeah, she just like pulled her pants down. Like, it was like, where did the bottle go? Like, it was so stupid. So then,
and I don't understand why she's not offering him a blowjob for giving her.
Right? Right?
Like, yeah.
That's kind of how I thought that this was going to go.
It could have. Once you introduce that, it's like, oh man, what is, there's like a George Carlin in like some Kevin Smith movie where he's like hitchhiking and he just gives blowjobs to everyone like that picks them up.
Is it like just Dogma? Like,
yeah, I think it's Dogma. Like, and he like starts going down on the nun or something, I think, at one point. Like, it's weird, but he's like, this is the rules of the road. So maybe that's what this is all about.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that it was going to go down the road of her giving him a roadhead as well. Especially when we start to get Hector's backstory, where it's like he's not a dangerous person. It's like he was in an abusive relationship where his girlfriend would beat him, and then she pointed a gun in his face and was like threatening him. And he took the gun from her and packed all the shit and immediately hopped in his car and started driving from Las Vegas to New York, I guess. And then Hannah's like, oh, okay, I misjudged this guy.
Yeah. And you know, when you're coming from Las Vegas to New York, you always go upstate New York down.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly, Vance.
Like, the geography does not work there. Also, you know, being Hispanic, driving around, gun loose in the backseat, not a good thing.
No.
I don't know what Vegas is like, but you probably don't want that in New York.
You probably don't want that in most of the country. You know,
you probably
want
to tuck that somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Trunk, put that in the trunk. Like, it shouldn't just be loose on a blanket in the back seat.
Vance, there is so much wrong with this episode, man. So much wrong with this episode. But yeah, Hector's just basically happy to be out of this abusive relationship, and Hannah's like, you know what? I can relate to you. I, too, just broke up with my boyfriend. And then he says something about, like, is that guy your dad? Talking about Ray.
Yeah.
And I was like, how old do people think Ray is? Like, Jesus. So then she's like, yeah, I can relate. I just broke up with my boyfriend today. That's why I'm in this predicament. And he's like, oh, well, what did he do? And she was like, he was just kind of a dick. And my ex-boyfriend is hooking up with my ex-best friend now. And this is where I wrote, I was like, I didn't know that Jessa was her best friend. I thought that Marnie forever was her best friend.
It's been weird because Jessa has been very high up on her friend list too. I mean, we started out with Marnie as our best friend, but like it seemed like her and Jessa had like a real close college relationship too.
I guess.
But yeah, it's whatever.
She's like, yeah, I found out that my ex-boyfriend is hooking up with my ex-best friend. And Hector's like, why are they doing that? Couldn't they find somebody else? What is it? Does he have a diamond dick and does she have a golden pussy? And Hannah's like, you know, actually, they might have that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And then Hector's kind of like, well, I'm just happy. They start to pull into New York, and he's like, look at this, New York, it's fucking awesome. I'm so happy to be here. I've never been here. I've never seen the lights like this. This is going to be beautiful. This is the best place to make a new life. And he starts screaming, woo. And then Hannah's like, yeah, you know what? This is great. I'm happy for you, Hector. And then that's where the episode ends.
Yeah, she's like, New York is a great place to start over. And I'm like, okay, I kind of get that if this was her coming back from Iowa.
Yeah.
Not from just having left the city a few hours ago. You know?
Yeah, dude.
And the way that the bridges she had to burn to get back. Dude. Like, there's a wake of, like, Fran, Ray, just a terrible... She's going back to a place where I get... Did Fran start living with them? Was Fran living with
them? Yeah, Fran was living with her and Elijah, I think.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, because remember he had that psycho roommate?
Yeah, I didn't know if that was just for a couple nights or if it was a full night. Like, we don't ever... I guess he's there because, yeah, I guess he's there.
Yeah, I feel like we never really...
He seems to be there.
But yeah, man, that's the episode. I mean, this one was a fucking doozy.
Yeah, we have a Reddit fan that mentioned that that they love this season, but this is the episode that was their least favorite of it.
I mean, that Reddit fan is absolutely correct. I mean, this episode, no one's likable. No one. Maybe Marnie?
Yeah, I thought we'd get more Shoshana for her coming back home.
Yeah, well, it's also Homeward Bound with Hannah.
Yeah. But, like, she just left. Like, it wasn't like they were anywhere. Like, dude. Cut to them being on the road for a month, maybe. Like, they hadn't even left New York State.
So many plot holes. So many things where you're like, why is this happening? So many things where you're like, how is this happening?
I will say the show always, I mean, it always surprises me, like, the way they get to things. You know what I mean? Like, it's something like, I couldn't have thought that this is how this was going to go. You know what I mean? So, like, when you watch it, it's always intriguing because you don't know what to expect. Every time we watch an episode before we do a podcast, I'm always, like, not sure what we're getting into. Yeah. I'm not sure if this is going to be absurd, funny. Is it going to be silly? Is it going to be traumatizing? Like... This is an episode that dealt with postpartum depression in the middle of it. Like, it's a singular vision, man. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I'm intrigued to see what happens with Laird and Caroline. And
same.
I care very little about the Marnie, Desi, Tandis thing. I do care about Shoshana being back now. I want to see what the interaction's like when she interacts with Hannah or Jessa.
See, I don't even care about that.
I'm still waiting for the Adam, Jessa, Hannah. Like, I don't even care as much about it because I feel like Adam's got a lot more on his plate. But it seems like... I thought they did such a great job of her realizing it. And I didn't think they needed to double down with, like, the actual confirmation.
Yeah.
In this episode. I was like, that's enough. They were walking off together. Yeah. Acting awkward. That's all you needed. I didn't need
you get the picture.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't even really care about Shoshana right now. Now I'm just like, I don't care. She's so waffling on what she likes. And I'm just like, I don't give a fuck about you anymore. You know?
It seems like there's a couple things. There seems like Shoshana in the first season, we were always like, we don't get enough. Like, she literally just pops in, says talks really fast, has some witty lines, and then she's out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this season has kind of been like that for her. She's had more meaty scenes, but she's just kind of filler when you think of it as a whole.
Yeah, she pops in. She doesn't say witty lines anymore. She just has, like, dramatic, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. In one way, and then the next time you see her, I don't know what I'm doing with my life in another way. And it's like, you can't pin her down. We have no idea what she's feeling or what's happening. Marnie's kind of doing the same thing now, but, like, that at least makes a little bit more sense because it seems like it's kind of more of a power control thing.
Yeah. What I'll say about the Shoshana thing is, like, we always knew it was going to get to a point where she was going to graduate and end up like the girls. And
yeah.
How was she going to react to it? The wrench in that is that she went to Japan to have it happen. You know what I mean? Like, so all of the stuff that would have been interesting to see her be like the girls, like seeing Hannah become a teacher and seeing Marnie's band take off and seeing Jessa have like a passion, would really crush Shoshana because she would think she's better than them. And then they would have been higher, and now she's where they are now. You know, so it's like they would have like leaped over her expectations, but they're not around each other. So like their achievements don't really equate to Shoshana because she wasn't there. She's in Japan when all this is happening.
Yeah.
You know, like she doesn't even know that like Marnie has a successful, like is a successful musician. Like
that's a big deal too.
You like, know? Hannah's held a job for about a year. like she's been a teacher for about a year because we find out this relationship's been a year.
Yeah, and she hasn't been fired from the job after, like, threatening the principal sexually.
Yeah. And Jessa, we don't know. I thought we would find out more about Jessa and her schooling that Adam's paying for. And
nope.
Which I was really excited about. I was like, oh, Jessa's finally going to have a thing, and instead her thing is I'm hooking up with Adam, as opposed to like, I guess we saw her studying when she got a phone call today.
Yeah, I think that's what she was doing.
Sure. So that's all it is. She just gets books to look at. Like maybe she'll actually, can we get a scene where she actually has to give therapy to someone at some point?
Or it was like in a class.
Yeah.
Giving a presentation about something.
I don't know. I just want to see her do the thing, that thing. Because I think I said she would be good at that. Like, it seems like that's what her calling would be.
Any evidence of her doing this would be good.
Yeah. And I feel bad. I think Ray's coffee business is going under.
Yeah, I mean, Ray's in a bad way now. I mean, he just lost $50,000. Hopefully that truck is, you know, once you just put it back upright, it's going to be fine.
It's insured, but I feel like the truck was one of those like last-ditch efforts because he was losing business to Helvetica.
Oh, yeah, Helvetica, yeah. That's
so I feel like this was a last-ditch of like how to, yeah.
Well, maybe we'll find out in the next episode, which is directed by Ray, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, directed by Ray. It is titled Love Stories.
All right. Yeah, we're just going to, I guess it's going to be more of this, just all the relationships, and we'll probably double down on Fran breaking up like for the 8th time this season.
Dude, I don't even know. I don't even have a prediction. This episode left a sour taste in my mouth.
It almost left a sour taste in Hannah's mouth.
I was going to say it left a soft dick taste in my mouth. I did not enjoy this episode. But I mean, overall, this season's been all right. It's been pretty...
I mean, this episode is...
This is a stinker.
A blast to talk about. It's not even close to one of my least favorite episodes, though.
I think it's up there with one of my least favorites. Because it was just like... It was so hard to like anybody in it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't like any of their actions in it. But we've seen them do stuff like this before.
Yeah.
I mean, last episode, she exposed herself to a teacher. And then just went around. Like the principal run around. Like, I don't know. Like the bar is set so low or high. Yeah. I don't even know how to say it, but the bar is set in a place where like I'm still like can't believe it happens, but I'm not as shocked as I used to be. If this was my first episode watching, I'd be like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, all right, everybody. This has been our episode on Homeward Bound, episode 50, the big 5-0 of this series. We don't have much left, Vance.
Yeah, we got two more episodes this season, and then on to the last one.
Then one more season. So stay tuned, everybody. Next time we'll be talking about love stories. See ya.
You're an adult. She's a baby. Why do you need more help than a baby?